life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are dreaming of Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's dream: Crayon Shin-chan, Fast Asleep, The Great Assault on Dreamy World. Thanks for listening. On today's show, we are joined by that nightmare of animation. It's Aaron Long.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron.
Okay. Thanks.
I should have written something there. I just didn't want to say dream again after saying dream so many times.
So you say it was a nightmare.
Well, just hung up the call. I'll accept that label. Me, the nightmare of animation.
And we are here to talk about the 2016 or 15. I can't remember which year it was. What year did this movie come out? 16. Yeah, 16. I was right the first time. Stop doubting yourself, Brian. Crayon Shin-chan film. Directed by Wataru Takahashi, who we've also... He also did the Robo-Dad movie, which we've also talked about on the podcast, and he's also going to do movie 26. This is the 24th, so 26 would be this year's.
Is there a title announced for us?
I've not looked it up. I think so, yes. But I haven't written it down or looked it up. It is written by Hitori Gekiden, who is a comedian. And he was in Nobita's Dinosaur that we talked about on the podcast in various roles. And also read by the director. And storyboard is Michio Mihara. And the director... Woo. Yeah, I think that's the key as to many of the things we'll be talking about is Michio Mihara's return. And the unit directors were Michio Mihara and Takashi Ikihata. Yeah, so the big thing here is that Michio Mihara has returned to the thing. Well, he hadn't returned on this. He'd returned on
the alien thing.
I think on the alien thing, and then he's in. Well, yeah, I think the alien thing was his. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, so he returned on the
Shin-chan
alien thing
versus
yeah.
alien, or whatever yeah. it was called.
Alien versus
the Amazon thing.
Okay, yes, which still yeah. isn't on Amazon UK.
Oh,
yeah, I know. It's infuriating. It'll be all over the world. They said. I can imagine that it's supposed to be, and someone's forgotten to press a button somewhere, it being Amazon.
Have you guys watched that yet?
I've watched some of it, yes.
Yeah, same. I think I forgot to finish watching it because it was episodes. If it was one movie, I would have just kept going, but I got to get back to that. It was good.
Yeah, particularly because I believe there's a character in this who appears in that, which I've overwritten in my notes. And so he was like the big director, one of the best directors of the show early on. Am I right in thinking, Aaron?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he would have been. I didn't know he worked on the show, but at least, you know, until recently. But I know he's worked with a lot of people who worked on the show.
And
he's definitely of that school.
Yes. Yeah. And also the director, Wataru Takahashi, said that he wanted to get away from the CG look of other anime films of the era and perhaps previous Shin-chan films. And that's why they've deliberately gone back to wobbly lines in this film.
I love it.
I thought you would. I went back and looked at the past two films that we talked about and watched. I mean, this is really good, but is it that much better than the other two? I went back and looked at those other two. I was like, oh no, this looks far better than those previous two. And I enjoyed those previous two.
They were good movies, yeah. I didn't think they looked bad, but this just feels a lot more like, visually, it feels a lot more like classic Shin-chan in terms of that kind of organic, yeah, wobbliness to the lines.
And the guest cast, there is Saki Nubatama, played by Taiko Kawata, who may be best known as Amy from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I've probably heard some of her work.
Yumihiko Nubatama, Saki's dad, played by Ken Yasuda, who apparently the internet tells me is Japan's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That is amazing.
In being a bodybuilding actor. Sayori Nubatama, I believe that's the mother, played by Michiko Kichizei from Liar Game, the live-action Liar Game. And then you've got some real people guest stars. You've got Tonikaku Akarui Yasumura as himself. He is a comedian known for a bit where he appears to be naked, but he isn't.
Oh, I watched it. It's so good.
That explains
Obviously, I had no idea who he was until watching this film.
And so the joke is the dream version of him is actually naked. That's the nightmare version of him. And then two guest stars, they kept as a surprise. They didn't actually include them in any publicity. Baku Owada, a famous actor, not a mythological dream-eating monster. Again, they could not reveal him because if they revealed him, the punchline to a joke would have been given away. And Jin Shirosaki, who was a former celebrity charismatic host turned entertainer, also kept a surprise.
I want to see if he's as handsome as... Oh, he's not bad. He's not bad. I don't see why she likes him.
Have to give it to him. He's not bad looking. Okay. I don't know how you become... I don't know how a host becomes a celebrity.
Yeah, it seems like they're usually pretty low-key. Like, it doesn't seem like a kind of job that you'd want a lot of people to know you were a host.
Oh, with this, so like an escort host?
Well, kind of, yeah. I don't think there's necessarily sex involved, but I was reading this book called Tokyo Vice, where it's about this American reporter who kind of goes into Japan as like an investigative journalist. And there's a section where he goes undercover as a host. It's pretty interesting. It's maybe too much of a tangent to go into, but yeah, it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you would become a celebrity for.
Maybe he's just that
I thought
good.
The host thing meant like the host of a TV show.
Oh, no.
That's what I was way up now knowing that. It's
No, you just pay him for his company.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he's just that good. That's what people just couldn't stop talking about him.
It's like a famous prostitute or something. But
yeah.
But yeah.
Very bizarre.
But transferring that into becoming entertainer/radio personality, as Wikipedia now describes him.
So he's done well with himself.
He's been in Kamen Rider films, apparently. Or TV episodes.
As himself? Or...
No, Phantom Argos in, things I've seen. Kamen Rider Wizard.
Maybe one of the women who came to him was like a TV producer and she just really liked him. Casting couch.
Yeah, he was kept a surprise as well. Not so much for a punchline, I think, just for maybe... There's a lot of things in here for parents to find hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I think this felt perhaps more so than the last couple. But there was definitely
I'd say so.
Pitching things at the parents' level. And they said, in development, the stage was dream and the theme was mother and child.
Comes across.
Yeah. So the stage is sort of just like the...
I assume setting.
The topic. Interesting that they kind of develop it with those kinds of separate thoughts and then figure out a way to integrate them.
Yeah, I think it's... because obviously I've been watching a lot of Toei live action stuff over the past few years. And you can definitely get a sense of watching that it feels more like they roll them randomly on some sort of weird chart, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It does feel like there is the same sort of construction going in there. It's like, what are the things what are kids interested in is more their thing, but then also other settings.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, unlike a lot of films, the guest female lead, the character is Shin-chan's age instead of an adult woman.
Yeah, I can't think of, I haven't seen all of the movies, but this is maybe the first one that I've noticed that, yeah. I think usually it's that they want an excuse to draw adult female bodies that Shin-chan can like find attractive.
Well, there's plenty of them in this.
Yeah, I suppose with the dream concept, yeah, you don't need any excuse anymore. You can just draw them without having them to be characters. So the basic plot of this film is everyone starts having a shared dream in the neighborhood. But then the adults find themselves ejected from it and in the nightmare realm. And so kids are having great dreams every night, but parents are waking up absolutely haggard because they've not been able to sleep properly because they've been pursued by the worst parts of their subconscious. And it turns out it is all the doings of a Yumihiko Nubutama, who is doing this to drain the dream energy from children's dreams to prevent his daughter, Saki, from having nightmares. And she's horrible because she can't make friends because her father has to keep moving from town to town in order to drain the next neighborhood's dreams from them. But despite this, our heroes are determined to make friends with her, whether she likes it or not.
Yeah, she's pretty rude to them.
She is.
She's awful.
Yeah. I like Shin has a good line there. He says, it's because their skill levels are too low to be friends with her.
So she gradually warms up to them, and then to the point where she turns on her father, and you get flashbacks to her mother dying, and
it's all very sad.
Yeah, but her mother had given like this knitted Baku that she said would eat all the bad dreams, so they decide they've got to go and find the Baku in the dream world and get it to eat her nightmares so her father won't have to keep on doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty... But that doesn't... Again, that doesn't quite work, because then they have to do another thing at the end which defies logic, but it kind of all makes sense by the end.
And, have you never had a shared dream, Brian? You never?
No.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have.
But you would never know. You would never know, though, would you, really?
Unless you discussed it with somebody. Yes.
Well, yeah, a lot of dreams people are kind of embarrassed about. Keep it quiet.
I used to write down my dreams for a while because I'd find weird ideas in them that I could make cartoons out of, hopefully. But a lot of the time I read them back and they were just pretty nonsensical. It wasn't anything.
I hope
too
you've
useful.
Still got that though, because you never know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've got weird little notes like that as well.
Yeah, I still look back at them.
Yeah, I see that when I was reading Rick Veitch's Rarebit Fiends comic, because he'd do similar like that. So there was a brief period where I was doing it as well, because I was like, this is interesting, I'll try this. But eventually it becomes like, do I have to take those notes? I've just woken up. Do I want to take notes?
Oh, that's lazy.
It's not the ideal time to be writing a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I would do it in the middle of the night. I would wake up in like 2 a.m, grab the pen and paper, just keep the light off. I'd wake up and just be scribble with like the odd random word that I could make sense of. Yeah. But that's not a good way of doing this.
I would keep the lights off sometimes, and in order to keep it from being totally illegible, I would start writing all over the paper. Like, I wouldn't worry about writing straight lines across. So then in the morning, there's like words going in spirals and stuff. It's almost gibberish, but you can kind of follow it. You turn the paper.
Yeah, there's a Seinfeld episode, isn't there, where that's part of the plot, where he wakes up in the middle of the night with a really great joke, writes it down, and then can't make sense of it in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't happen in this Shin-chan film, though. What are all the kids' dreams? So obviously Shin-chan is just to be surrounded by
beautiful women.
Beautiful women in a swimming pool.
It's a bit like a Mario Party mini game or something. It's like trying to push them into the water.
Yeah. Is he doing like the butt fighting like they do in that Keijuu anime at some point?
Yeah, he's definitely dueling.
Nene's is to be a pop idol.
Oh, that's great. When she's just singing a lullaby as a song. Kazuma wants to be the mayor or sort of local politician.
He's like, driving around in his his propaganda wagon or whatever. Yeah. Which I thought that was purely an invent. I knew he was kind of supposed to be the uptight nerdy kid, but I thought his interest in politics was just an invention of the American dub, because they really played that up, that he was like a big Bush supporter, because there was so many kind of very topical jokes in that dub. From like, I don't know, started in 2005 or something. So I was surprised that he actually is interested in that, in the Japanese version as well.
What's the guy with the shaved head?
He was be a comic.
Masao.
Right,
yeah.
That's
the one. Yeah.
Yes, it's his dream editor character is also, she's also in the Alien versus Shinosuke.
Oh, okay. And what impact does she have in?
I can't remember. I only read the notes. I didn't realize either. It was only when I was reading through notes on it that I was like, oh, I have to go and check that out because I hadn't realized that at the time.
Yeah.
I think she's just one of the other passengers on board the spaceship they're on.
And she has the same role in that? She's a manga editor?
I don't think so. No, I think it's just the same name, the same character design, and probably the same
actress. That's what I thought. Yeah. I wonder if she's just occasionally a character on the show as well.
I think it's those are the only two I think it's just a... Yeah, I think it's just a Michio Mihara reusing the character. I don't know how that Alien vs. Shinosuke ends, though. Maybe there is something which ties it in. Maybe it does turn out to all be a dream, in which case...
Oh, spoilers.
I'm not saying a spoiler. I've not seen it, the end of it.
You might be right.
He's just speculating.
You might be right, though.
You can say that about anything, though. Yes. It might be.
I guess so. What's the other kid? Because I'm terrible with the kid's names.
Bo. He just wants to be a stone.
He just loves
rocks. It's funny.
I always find it weird in things when there's like guest writers and the guest writers bring with them their own extra characters that only they ever use. That happened in the Sonic the Hedgehog comics I used to read a lot too, and it seemed like the guy who would write those issues was the only person who ever liked that character.
And we see some of Marcel's comics. Again, I don't think I assume this may be a recurring gag in the show. I've not seen enough of the actual show to know, though.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of the recent stuff.
They are amazingly terrible.
Well, who? What? His
the comics?
Manga, his comics, yes.
They're great. The dog one was great.
It reminded me of Pop Team Epic.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's a bit... Yeah, we also see some characters I don't think I've seen before, but who are regulars. The cheetah. Cheetah Kawamura.
Oh, the bully kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's been in a few episodes of the show.
And
there's the couple, I forget their names, who's like really in love with each other and they have the same hairstyle.
Yeah, I think I've seen them before.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've seen I think I've seen the parents getting annoyed at them because they're obviously...
Yeah, that's usually what happens. Yeah. They're like the young, perfect couple.
Yeah, don't have children.
Except then they... Yeah, but then they always end up fighting and one of them ends up staying with the parents. It's like on the surface, they're really, everything's perfect. And then they immediately, you know, 2 minutes into the sketch, they almost break up.
And Kawaguchi, the other employee at whatever company it is that Hiroshi works for.
Yeah, I have no idea what he does at work. It might be like the just generic office worker thing that you see in cartoons.
Definitely but not a super CEO, though.
Yeah. I feel like we saw a lot of his work in Robot Dad, but I don't know if they specifies there either what he actually does.
They just send him over to supervise. Oh, in the Mexico one, they send him over to supervise whatever they were doing in Mexico.
It's like the Mexican wing of the company.
Yeah, I assume they're just omniversal. They can be used whatever is useful for the story at the time.
Yeah. But yeah, Kawaguchi seems to be pretty much any time you see him at work, you see Kawaguchi there too.
We get lots of... When he's asking Shin-chan if he's really 5 years old, that was one of my favourite. When he sees his dream. Kazuma was like, man, are you really 5 years old? Anything else of note that I'm missing? It's been 4 weeks since I watched it.
The dog dream. Well, they have the initial dreams at the start.
Dog's dream. Yes, the dog's dream.
The dog's dream is amazing.
He wants to be a horse.
Yeah, he's like a horse body with the same sized head.
It looks hilarious.
So good. Himawari's dream is just to be giant, and she sucks on Shin-chan like a pacifier. The mom is, yeah, secretly meeting up with the escort host guy. Mm-hmm. And the dad is super CEO.
Yes. But then we get later on when they need to get back into the children's dreams. They have to fill their minds.
Pure of heart.
Make themselves pure of heart so their dreams will be big enough to stay in there.
She dresses like a magical girl. And he dresses like, I don't know. I don't know what. He's got like every
Yeah, he's a superhero.
Little gun, sword.
Yeah, some kind of hero character.
But it's the fact they dress up like that in the real world before they go to sleep.
Well, whatever they're wearing at the time is what they have on in the in the dream world, I suppose. So it helps to enhance the experience. What if you slept nude? I'm surprised it wasn't a... Well, I would have made it.
It's an anime.
Yeah.
Like when was the last time you saw somebody go to bed nude in an anime?
That principal guy should have been the one who goes to bed nude in the Encho. That would have been funny. He's a really funny character to me. I always forget about him, and then he shows up, and I just laugh looking at him.
Yeah, so they have to... They also get involved in the plan to... get Saki out into the nightmares and find her nightmares. But it turns out her nightmares is her... She thought she killed her mother due to her being a bad child doing these terrible, dangerous scientific experiments that her parents were apparently holding in their house.
Yeah. I forget, are their parents already doing, like, dream research?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. The part's pretty sad.
It is.
Really sad.
Yeah. Her dad has normal hair before the accident, and afterwards he's got like a Cruella de Vil thing where each side is a different color.
Yeah.
He's a scary looking man.
He is.
He looks a little bit like near where I live, and whenever I walk to the subway, I have to go through this Hollywood and Highland area, and there's a guy who's dressed up as like a tour guide. With a top hat and glasses just like the dad has and like a jacket. And he looks a lot like him.
Maybe he's influencing your dreams.
Yeah, I think the design just, it feels like in his efforts to make sure his child sleeps well at night, he has not had a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Since his wife died.
So it's the stress that caused his hair.
But at the same time, her hair changes color when the machine blows up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. See, I thought her hair changing color was the stress, like the traumatic event.
Oh yeah,
could be that. As well, yeah.
So it could be a mix of the two. Probably a mix of the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a good. He's a sympathetic villain, I think. In that, again, what he's doing is not especially evil either, because he's going to be there for a few weeks, but he's kind of messing his child up. Even though he thinks he's helping her.
Yeah. She's never going to gain friends because she's awful, which is her fault, but because she's moving around all the time. And I think that's the sad kicker at the end for me, where after everything's all happy, she's moved to another town.
Well, yeah.
She's writing a letter to them, and I was like, oh.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Why couldn't she just stay there? She's got the friends. So that was like a bit of a sad moment.
No room for new characters. They'd have to explain where she was every time there was an episode.
I suppose.
Yeah. Speaking of the dad being somewhat sympathetic, we may have discussed this in the Robot Dad one. I can't remember, but it seems like kind of in the same way that the Lupa in the third franchise always goes back to Castle of Cagliostro for inspiration. They keep kind of looking back at that Adult Empire one, where, you know, they'll kind of borrow plot elements or visual ideas from it just because it seems to be one of the best received movies. Because a lot of the time I'm noticing they'll have some villain with like an extreme ideology that they sort of want to share with the rest of Japan by force.
Yeah.
And it seems like that works well because one of Shin-chan's big character traits is how weird and individualistic he is. So putting up against a villain who's kind of trying to make everyone the same is always like a good conflict.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
Yeah, whereas, say, the Mexican one was less that. That was Jaws. That was
yeah
one greedy man. and then nature taking its course. Though never explained. Right. Anything else did I want to mention here? Yeah, I thought the.
Did you like it? I want to know if you liked it.
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I loved it a lot too.
Interesting. I thought
this is one of my favorite ones. I think it's not quite in the very top tier, but I would put it up there, like maybe third place or something out of the ones that I've seen.
Okay.
How about you, Anthony?
So I was a bit iffy at first. I was a bit. Weirdly, and very poetic, it's as Saki changes her attitude, I did with the film as well. As she becomes a nicer character, I started having more of a tie to the film because I felt I was lacking that tie, like emotional tie. And then as she gains it, I was like, oh, actually, this is going somewhere.
I was weird from the beginning. Just starting with all the characters' crazy dreams, I was like hooked right from the first 5 minutes or something.
I was just worried it wasn't going to go anywhere with it. I mean,
it was just
going to
be crazy weirdness.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And then they add a little bit of emotion, sad backstory, and I was on board. But I liked it.
That was another thing I feel like they hit on with the Adult Empire one, is having a bit more of a poignancy to it, more depth. Because if you watch the earlier ones before that, they're mostly just kind of superficial, like, joke stories or adventure stories with, like, a lot of comedy. And then with that one, I think they realized that people really like trying to put more emotion into it. Although there are still, like, the Mexico one was pretty goofy.
Yeah.
So they
don't
always follow that.
Yeah, I think the other thing, when I was watching this, I was like, I think I like this more than the other two. My main thing at the end, I was like, it doesn't have like the big set piece that the previous two did. There's not the giant robot fight.
Yeah. Oh, that was still amazing.
Or the crazy chase through the village by cactuses.
Yeah.
But then I said I did go back and look at them. I was like, oh no. It doesn't have the set piece, but overall, it's got a better quality running. From top to bottom.
That's what I felt. Yeah, I was a little disappointed going into it that there wasn't going to be a Science Saru section to it by Masaki Yuasa. But then it did kind of just have a little bit more of that crazy visual energy all the way through.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a kind of a set piece at the end where the huge, like, nightmare creature
is slurped up
by Shin-chan, and they're all transforming and stuff. But I agree, it's not this big epic chase. Though there is plenty of chasing going on with the mother and father.
There is, but
I still think somehow it being in a dream takes it away a little bit, even though it's a cartoon. For some reason, the cartoon being in the real world
that stuff more exciting because it's so outlandish, but you know it's actually happening, yeah.
Yeah, and there's obviously, going back to Adult Empire, as well as it having its emotional core, I think there's tension in that isn't really achieved in any of these three, with them when they're on the girders.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that I assume that's what's his face? The unit director on it. Who did Jungle Goo and Blood Sea and all that. His name escapes me for the moment. Tsutomu, can't remember his surname. But that felt like very much like the other things I'd seen of his, was that tension. Because I think that's the thing he does best, is tension. And again, it'd been weird here, but as I say, for some reason, the dream aspect of it kind of removed a bit of the worry. I think also the fact that you knew everything would be fine regardless of what happened because of you knowing that the previous location this had been happening in, they'd all been getting over it. No permanent damage had been done.
That's a good point. Yeah, this one didn't necessarily have as much suspense or feeling of danger. Yeah.
But I think, it still makes you care about Saki by the end. And I think the Kasakabe Defense Organization works really well in this one, with them using it as a way to include her in their games, and then they're setting up the base in their garden.
There was a really good moment I just remembered when they go to her place and they're in the garden, and trying to get her to join the club. There's a part where Shin sings along to the background music for about 5 seconds or something, but nobody comments on it. At first, I thought I was just imagining it, and then I rewound it, and he was singing along to it.
Oh, something I want to mention, actually. Something I used to love at school, where basically when Saki first shows up, she's like the new kid at school. And she had that, like, where whenever a new kid at school would come, everybody would be interested. Like, no matter who they were, always had this, like, mysticism, this, like, oh, what are they like? What films did, you know, what games do they play? I used to always be, everybody was always super intrigued. And, like, I thought they carried that across well with, like, everybody gathered around her and everybody's trying to show off. And it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I can't remember that ever happening. But then I kind of can't.
Oh, no, I used to love, like I remember, like, French exchange students coming over to school and, like, they got introduced in the assembly.
They got, like, different shows they watch. They've got different customs and toys from their other school on the other side of town.
Exactly.
Or the other side of the channel.
Yeah. I don't miss those days because it didn't happen, like, every week. But I always remember a new kid in the class was a big event.
Oh, you like to have a new employee at your job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because I'm usually the guy who has to train them. And I'll tell you now, I hate training people.
I'm not thrilled with the worst person. Because I'm always a little apprehensive about new employees because I'm always like, oh, are they going to be really bad? Am I going to have to cover up, fix all their work for them?
Oh, I mean...
See? Yeah.
our worries are normally, are we going to scare them off?
Kind of, there's a guy actually I'm training at the minute. He had a Dragon Ball Z jumper on last week, and I didn't mention it.
What?
That was like the perfect conversation starter, and I chose to ignore it.
Oh, that says a lot about him.
Says a lot about Anthony. He's a.
It does. He's like a, I think
you're a pretend Dragon Ball fan now, aren't you? Really?
No. Oh. I just think out of office in the right setting, I'm far more sociable. But at work, I want to sit and browse the internet while I work. I don't want to talk to someone.
Yeah, you don't want to be.
I'm kind of unsociable in many ways, but I'm revealing secrets.
I bet you were like, if I say something about it, he's going to ask me about Dragon Ball Super, and then I'm going to have to admit I've not been watching it.
Well, that as well. Margie listens to this.
You should have said you want to work at work and browse the internet. Although, let's be honest, we all do.
Yep. But yes, I like the feeling. I think they captured the mysticism of a new pupil in school quite well. Yeah. Everybody trying to show off. I love the bit where everyone's showing off. And what's the little girl? Nene, whatever she's called?
Nene with the red hair, yeah.
Yeah, she's like suddenly interested in that kid's manga. And he's like, well, you can get it at the shop. It's just a great put down and in a scornful way. That's one of my favorite scenes, actually. I like all the bits in the school when they're all, you know, bantering with one another. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now I'm trying to remember if anybody...
new at school?
If anyone was new at school while I was... I think so.
Well, I've never been the new kid at school.
I've never been.
It's a weird feeling.
Because I was in the French immersion program, it was pretty small, so it was sort of the same group of kids every year. So you'd maybe get one new kid each year, and it was always a big deal.
Yeah, see? Something I look forward to. And then they would say they were into football, and it would just get out of my sight. Jock.
You never collected football stickers then, Anthony?
Oh, of course I did. I don't want to say the nerdy aspect because that's not even the nerd. I don't know. I'm not a big sports guy. You know, e-sport, fine. But...
cartoons, animated.
Yeah.
You're fine. Have they done a sports Shin-chan film?
There was one where where Yuasa did a section where he's on a bike in some kind of cycling race, but that's all I know of. I haven't seen that one.
I like the chase in the nightmares just because they're using the dog.
Yeah,
and Timahari.
The dog is the horse.
Timahari is the
the
ways of traveling, and then they use the campaign bus.
Oh, that section was great. That was where the memes came in. I was going to say, so it seems like between this and the last one, the Shin-Chan movies are getting big on memes.
So what memes were in this?
Oh, well, don't worry, I'm not naked guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a stand-up, so I consider that that's his act. That's not a meme.
Oh, I guess so. Seems like a viral video kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a couple of elements in that Mexico one that you said were references to like popular videos in Japan?
Possibly. My mind has got. I've filled it with other anime information since then. So
Haybot and shit.
No, I'm sure they won't be referencing Haybot. I don't think anyone's going to be referencing Haybot apart from me and a few other maniacs. Or maybe when any children who are watching it. And then old enough to make their own anime, then they'll start referencing Haybot. Yeah.
That naked guy is weird, like, because I didn't know it was a.
Yeah, I assumed thing. That. I think he comes back twice. Or he comes back a second time in it, right?
Yeah, and he's like around Shin-chan, and he's just naked. And I was like, I don't know if I find this funny or just like over the top or weird.
What
like, bums are fine. Plenty of bum jokes in this one.
Yeah. I like
Shin-chan
the part where
he... farting up her nose, up his, like, the nightmare thing nose.
He breaks a pair of chopsticks with his butt at one point.
Yeah, that's good.
It's his best trick.
Oh, the bullies! A bully punches his bum.
He catches punch his hand.
And then he
goes up
it.
His bum.
Yeah. He locks his
like
butt cheeks around his head. That part was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe, it was a good joke based on the fact that he's off, like every time he'll be walking on his bum at some point. Obviously, the one where they're on that island full of the people enslaved making anime. there's an entire chase. He's running around the building on his bum. But yeah, it was good joke logic of like, okay, if he can do that, then his buttocks must be super strong. Therefore, you can do other things with his buttocks.
Yeah, Shin's buttocks can do anything. I was going to say that thing, one of my favorite jokes was the Baku thing where
yes.
Bo's like, yeah, I know where to find Baku, and then it's Baku Owada. That reminded me of like the kind of joke you'd see in Animaniacs or something.
Yes, yeah, very much so. they still tried to make him eat the nightmares though, which was...
Yeah, I like that where he's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. I guess I could try, but I don't think I'm going to be good at it.
He has a good attempt.
Yeah. And so he played himself, he said?
Yes, yeah. That was him playing himself, yeah.
That's great.
Surprise guest special appearance. Yeah, I like the fact that the one they publicize is it's the guy who pretends to be naked, but he isn't.
That was the big get.
It was, yes. So there's always some sort of guest star. And I often have to look up who it is in order to make sense of their appearance.
What were their parents' nightmares? I know the dad's nightmare was Misai saying that she was like had her arms around Kawaguchi and she says, "This man is my husband now." But I forget what.
The dark one.
Yeah, he comes home and he's just eating dinner with the family.
Yeah, what was hers?
She has the one where the host calls her lady rather than...
Oh,
that's the small one, the opening nightmares.
Yeah.
I don't think she has another one.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah, I think you're right. Hers just was an extension of the host thing going bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've seen, like, little bits of other things going wrong for them. Kazama's is...
Oh.
Kazama's is being spanked by his mother.
I know Nene's, I thought it was hilarious. All her fans, there's some scandal and they say she's not pure anymore.
Yes.
They have like, this happens. Weird chant.
Yeah. All their behavior seems spot on to idol fans. There's a friend of mine who's too into idols. Masao is he falls behind schedule or something, and
yes, and the
he gets really stressed.
Yeah, the editor's personality flips from putting praise to him to actually behaving like a manga editor.
Yeah, I'd been reading a couple of comics. There was one by, I think, Jiro Taniguchi that I was looking at recently about what it's like working as an assistant for a manga author. And that part hit harder because I realize how true it is now. It's just, they're always stressed, always behind deadlines and stuff.
Yes, and then I'm sure the editors are also getting it from their bosses to apply pressure to make sure... And so then you watch Blue Blazes and you're like the Jiro Sato character.
Oh, I still gotta see Blue Blazes.
It's great. And you like, because they present the editors in different ways, and the editor he plays is the one who co-created Fist of the North Star. And yeah, he's just a very bizarre person. And I wonder if is that bizarre in real life, or he's just that bizarre filtered through Jiro Sato's ad-lib performances. I'm just trying to find the segments where they're having the nightmares to see if I can find out exactly what they're...
I can't remember. I don't think Bo's nightmare ever really goes bad, right? He turns into a rock, but he still seems pretty happy.
Yeah.
But he's getting pissed on by a dog.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's how it
but
goes
But he's
bad.
Content. He's,
yeah, he doesn't seem too hurt by
no,
it.
No, it's all cool. Let's think.
Yeah. There's a lot more takes place in our world than in the dream world, to be honest, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we've covered the major ones. Then it just becomes a chase of the nightmare chasing them turns into different things, like delinquents in a car, dogs,
crocodiles,
naked man.
The naked man. Yeah, I kept noticing that the background music reminded me of the original, like the early Pokemon anime. And then I looked it up, and it's the same composer who did the score for Pokemon and the early Shin-Chan TV show, and he's kind of been on and off with Shin-Chan since then.
Good spot.
I think that's pretty much it for the nightmares. Yeah, and then so they have this shared dream at the end where using the machine, and Bumise is like, they're still not going to be able to do it. This needs a mother to step in and explain exactly what a relationship between a mother and child is. So if I can remove the stress from this small child blaming herself for her mother's death. Which works really well, I think. And it was nice for her to get the last word for a change, rather than it being Shin-Chan beating some villain up.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of unusual for her to sort of not be the butt of the joke at some point.
Yeah, my eyes were watering up by the end of it, I have to say.
I think mine were too, yeah.
It did its job.
Hmm.
I was like, is it...
It was a sweet moment.
Yeah, I was like, is it going to make me cry? It's getting there. Anthony, you like crying at things. Did you cry at this? Do you get
yes,
the end?
Yes, a little bit. Not massively.
No,
I
not massively, but...
Just when it's all very clear of what she was like upset about and stuff, and the scene where she sees like the young girl of herself, like as a flashback, I was like, oh no. I don't feel sorry for the father, really. Although he's not like a super evil villain.
No.
I don't really care about him.
No, the real
villain. I'm like, oh.
He overcooks all the food. Yes. He's a monster.
Yeah, burnt toast racist again.
that was kind of sad that he's... Because it reminded me of my dad, like burning every, like, just being every food that he tries to make is just a disaster.
But I suppose the real villain is her subconscious. It's the her inside of her head that's telling
her. Yeah,
that
was an interesting idea. Yeah,
she's
the dad was just trying to save her from herself, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely worth seeking out through whatever nefarious means you have to seek out.
I don't understand why they don't make these more available. If they're doing this stuff with Amazon, I don't know why they don't end up just putting all the movies on there as well.
I think they're all on Amazon in Japan.
Oh, okay.
And I think they turn over pretty quick onto there. But it's just frustrating. But maybe there's other deals sealed up in other parts of the world that prevents it. Mm. Maybe it would have to be piecemeal. Maybe that's why you can do the the online only stuff in theory everywhere across the world. But yeah, India for sure have got a current ongoing Shin Chan broadcasting thing. I know that from the hits we get whenever we put a Shin Chan movie up.
The show has been going since, 92, so there could be a lot of old deals in place on it.
Yeah, there may even be old deals in the UK, because there's like a separate dub we had.
Right.
For Shin Chan, which I think some have started showing up on torrent sites. I should have a look.
Was that the one that was that voiced in the UK?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a situation like the because the Dorymon dub we've got is different as well than the US one. I really don't know what the situation is, but it's...
There have been a couple of dubs with American actors. I know there's the Funimation one, and then there's also apparently one with Kath Soucie playing Shin Chan. But I don't know if that's the UK one or another American one or something.
Shin Chan, Vitello and Foos English adaptations, 2002 to 2004.
Huh.
Vitello Productions never aired in the US but did air in the UK. So that's the one I've seen. Later relegated to shorts on Jetix. And then Fuse, P-H-W-Z, I guess that's pronounced Fuse. That was 2004 with a different pool of LA-based voice actors. So, yeah, the other one, they both must be American-produced, but the Vitello one was never actually shown in the US. So I don't know which one has got Kath Soucie in.
Mm.
Is this going to tell me further down here? It does. So Vitello was the Kath Soucie one.
Oh, okay.
So that would have been the one I've seen. Don't recognise any of the names on the Fuse one. So yeah, more curiosities.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Indian English dub of Ninja Hattori.
There's an Indian English dub?
Yes.
Wow.
How are the voices?
All over the place. Some of them are great, some of them are not. I think they'd all be a lot better if the sound mixing was better.
Oh, so it's kind of hard to watch?
It was watchable, but I wouldn't watch a lot of episodes. But yes, it definitely got me over my curiosity. I was like, oh, I have never seen Ninja Hattori. That is a thing. I should probably watch at least one episode of it. Here it is in English. I'll watch an episode of it. It's very much like Doraemon, but this time it's a ninja, not a robotic cat.
Oh, I like ninjas.
Don't think the dog was in it much, though.
I think I shouldn't say that. One of the strangest dubs that I saw recently was for that Studio 4C French co-production Mutafukas. There was playing an animation festival here. I don't know if it's had like a wide release yet, but there was like a dub that sounded like they did it in somebody's basement the night before the screening, so they'd have something in English. It was very bizarre. Just the voices were, like you were saying about that Indian English one, they were all over the place, where some of them sounded like well-recorded voice actors, and somebody else would sound like they just recorded a guy in an alley or something. So that's worth checking out if you want to hear a weird dub. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty funny. It made me laugh a lot, not always on purpose. And the movie was kind of cool. I like the Studio 4C aspect, but not the French comic that it was based on.
And apparently I learned, as I was getting the notes for this, there are 24 episodes of Shin Chan available to watch on the Nintendo 3DS in Europe.
What?
I know, there's more, even more now, 30. There's a volume 5 up.
Are these just random episodes?
Well, there's two free episodes in volume 1, so I click that and I shall bookmark it and I shall be able to give you an answer in the future.
So just on the 3DS platform?
I guess so. It says you can get them through the 3DS shop on here.
I wonder if you could have it on your Switch or your Wii U.
It says there are two free episodes, including this volume, downloadable from Nintendo eShop on the Nintendo 3DS family systems. So probably not, no.
That's mental.
Yeah, 3DS doesn't seem like a good platform to watch something on.
No, I mean, I've got the big 3DS.
Yeah, I do.
And it's decent, but...
Yeah. I've never watched media on it.
Never. Like, you see people like... I remember seeing someone use like the web browser, and I thought, why on earth?
Yeah, you do
in
it
in this day and age.
You do it once to see how it worked.
Yeah.
So it's hey, Himawari is a princess. Hey, it's Mummy's first grey hair. Hey, Michi and Yoshirin are moving. Hey, we're off to Hawaii part one. Hey, we're off to Hawaii part two. And hey, we're off to Hawaii part three.
Interesting.
It is.
About this naming convention thing, they all start with hey.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though.
I've no idea what dub that one is.
That's not the Funimation one, but it makes sense because the titles are always kind of shouted by Shin-chan over the title card. I kind of like that.
Yeah, and weirdly... It's strange. Volume 2 is where you find episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. Or maybe that volume 5 is just the... No, maybe that volume 1 is... I don't know. Maybe volume 1 is just the 3 episodes. I think that's all it is. So that was episode 8 and episode 10 is volume 1. So I guess they may repeat on another volume. But if they're free, yeah, I might check that out. Hey, it's two free episodes of Shin-chan to watch. Well, but yeah. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Right, if that's everything. This is good. Seek it out if you don't mind downloading fan subs, or if you can speak Japanese and you want to go and order the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of the best Shin-chan movies that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious what pretty the next good. Two is going to be like. He didn't do... the next one, but he's doing this year, so maybe this year's will also be up to the standards if he's got it in his head, the director's in his head of like saying, we're going to climb back to the heights of the old Shin-chan movies.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a game of You Snooze, You Lose.
Alright, let's do it.
A game where
I'm on a winning streak, just so you know.
Came up with a title first, and then I had to figure out a game around it. Right, Aaron, Anthony, right, Yeho. All I'm going to do, these are all episode titles off of Crunchyroll. So I'm going to give you the episode number and the episode title, and you just have to try and tell me what show is it from.
Oh, okay. This could be pretty hard.
We'll start off with Aaron. And you've got episode 328...
That's a clue.
Yeah.
A Shinobi's Dream.
Would this be Naruto?
Which Naruto do you think it is?
Oh, Shippuden?
That is correct. Anthony.
Yes.
Episode 8. Totoko's Dream.
Is this like a TQ thing? As TQ?
It's not TQ. Aaron, do you know Totoko's Dream, episode 8?
Is this Osomatsu?
That is Mr. Osomatsu, you are correct.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Back to you, Aaron. Episode 26, Zeff and Sanji's Dream.
One Piece?
That is correct.
I shouldn't have said I was on a winning streak.
Come to an end, Anthony.
It's terrible.
Anthony.
It's a nightmare.
Anthony.
Yes.
Episode 21, DOD, Dream or Die.
Must be JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
No! Aaron!
What?
Read or Die?
That is correct, yes.
Even got a Porsche... I thought you said Dio.
No, DOD.
I did it first, too.
Oh, yeah. God damn it.
What would DOD be?
I don't want to know. Careful when you search that on Google. Oh,
Aaron!
Our rivers stand.
Episode 1. Cocoon, hyphen, Dream of Falling from the Sky, hyphen, Old Home.
I know what this is. No idea.
Anthony, steal it.
Hibernate Reindeer.
That is correct. Anthony.
Yes.
Episode 11. The Dream of Italy, Part 1.
That's Lupin the Third.
Yep. Which part?
Well, it's the... Oh, what's it called? The one that was...
Well, there's only... Yeah, they Lupin the Third part, and then the number.
Oh, I don't know how many. It's that new one. The Italy one. Yep.
What if he gives you the jacket?
No, it's not part eight. Add Aaron.
Lupin the Third, Part 4.
That is correct.
Oh, I was way off. Twice as many off.
Aaron. Episode 66. Judai's First Dream Duel.
Yu-Gi-Oh?
That is correct.
Oh my god.
It's a duel.
I think I've seen that episode. Anthony.
Yes.
Episode 20. Yukako Yamagishi, Dreams of Cinderella.
I don't know who these are. Is it is it that folktale one?
Which folktale one?
Oh, what's it called? Isn't that just called Japanese folktales?
That's not known. That's Aaron, do you know?
World Masterpiece Theater?
No, it's you. It's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Diamond is Unbreakable.
What? You beat us with that.
Last one for you, Aaron. My turn, I don't think. Okay. Episode 797. The Dreaming Girl's Confused Deduction. The Dreaming Girl's Confused Deduction.
Detective Conan?
That is correct.
I was going to guess that, I swear.
And Anthony.
With a chance to steal.
No. Yes. I'll tell you what, I'll be generous, Anthony. If you can get this one, I'll give you 7 points so that you can win.
It must be really hard. Go on then, let's have it.
Episode 23, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Episode 23, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Right, so there's a murder.
Could be anything.
A murder. Where are you getting murder from?
Like Midsummer Night Murders thing.
What?
Is the program, isn't the Midsummer Night Murders?
No, Midsummer Murders. It's spelled differently.
Midsummer Murders, yeah. All right, so maybe it's not a murder. How many? What episode number was it?
23.
Could be a clue in that.
Pretty Cure.
No. Oh. Aaron, you rub it in. I don't think you've seen this.
7 points.
Dragon Ball Z.
No, Captain Earth. I think there's only two people I know who could have a chance of answering that question. So.
It wouldn't be me.
7 points to Aaron and 1 point to Anthony.
That was hard. He had ones. I got the Hibernate Renmere one, though. I'm proud of that.
Sorry, Anthony. That's just how it goes.
It's fine.
You had the Read or Die one, which you'd got all die in the title.
You said D-O-D.
Yes, D-O-D. Dream or Die. As opposed to R-O-D. Thought, like,
the title of the show is R-O-D.
I was thinking, like, there's a scene where one of the JoJo folk has a dream with Dio in. So, like, I don't know. I just heard Dio and I thought it was obvious.
My original...
I thought that for half a second.
My original one was going to be a bunch of titles from Naruto, which you got Dream in the title, and a bunch from One Piece, which you got Dream in the title.
We had to guess which.
But you'd have easily guessed because the One Piece titles have all got a format to them after a point where there'll be statement, exclamation mark, another statement, exclamation mark, whereas Naruto's are always just like one statement.
Mm.
There's a lot of anime that have titles like that, though.
Yes.
Although if it's between those two, yeah.
I think it's a lot of Toei titles and Naruto's not Toei, so therefore it didn't get that treatment of, oh my goodness! This thing's going to happen. And this thing also happens in this episode. No, you don't need to watch the episode. You've read the title. That is how you play. You snooze, you lose. Aaron, what have you got to plug?
Oh, I just put out a new episode of my web cartoon, Sublow and Tangy Mustard, and it's called Bad Guys. and you can see it on YouTube if you type Sublo and Tangy Mustard.
Do that. That's it. I'll also put a link in the description, and also there's a link in the sidebar anyway, I do believe.
Oh, cool.
Anthony, what you got to plug?
And ask you on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube.
And I'm going to plug, if you're at Amicon this year, we'll be running two events. I'll be running Mad Stravaganza, and me and Anthony, and Niall, and he doesn't know it yet, but apparently Anthony's volunteering Marv. We'll find out. You ask him, Anthony. It's your idea.
I'm literally opening the phone now. Do you see he's my idol?
No, your idea.
Oh, I think that he's your idol.
Is he your idol? We'll be doing Anime Dog Poker, where we'll decide which are the best anime dogs and who's the best at picking them. But until then, this is Dynamite in the Brain, finished for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Next week on the show, it is the famous anime podcast, 1998. Which of your favourite anime will be declared famous? Find out then. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. What a year.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.